I wanted to welcome Nini Fritz to the podcast, everyone. She is a remote team building coach who wants to humanize the digital work environment and create more meaningful connections in the virtual office. She's worked with previous companies such as Google, Meta, Facebook, and Instagram, I believe, HubSpot, P&G, eBay. Is it New South Wales Education Department? That's Australia,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
Because it says NSW, but most people who have not been to Australia wouldn't know. And she's now venturing out into some entrepreneurial projects of her own. Nini, I'm super excited to finally get this after we rescheduled. Welcome to the podcast.
I think it's the longest anticipated podcast. So I'm super, super happy to be your guest. And yeah, what a lovely introduction. I'm like, if I wouldn't know that girl, I would love to hang out with her. So thank you for putting my life into like a 1 minute introduction. I'm like, pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds pretty good, right? I mean, it's not a bad place to find and hang out with you either because you're in Bali at the moment, which I definitely want to dive into. But I wanted to start off with who you are, like growing up and stuff and where you're from. I know recently you said, which is kind of something that I do, which is I always try to distance myself from where I grew up, which is the US. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, you know, I'm pretty much from Australia at this point. And it was funny because we were talking the other day and you said, I try to distance myself, speaking as you, from Germany a bit, but I wanted to highlight, you know, that you are from Germany. Am I correct in that you were from Southern Germany, right?
The Germany you've never heard of. Yeah, I am. Born and raised like a village girl, like the village I was born, we were like 1,410 people, you know, as rural as it gets.
Wow.
And then, yeah, when I was 10, 11, we moved to the next city, 20,000 people. I'm like, wow, this is so like, anonymous, and I just want to go back to my village and tell my parents I'm just going to marry a guy from the village and have my first child when I'm like 23. My life has been sorted. Like the cutest guy in like fourth grade was the chosen one. And yeah, well, I took its turn.
So obviously growing up in a small town like that is really different. You know, even from the US, growing up in like New York as opposed to rural Midwest is really different. Can you kind of just like highlight what you've noticed now that you've moved around the world? Obviously, you've been in Australia for a bit, you know, Bali and more. What were kind of some of the main differences you noticed when leaving Germany that maybe people wouldn't be aware of?
Oh, this is a fantastic question from Citizen Remote. Because, yeah, it's been kind of like a gradual increase of like going further and further away. And yeah, I think the main takeaway from it is that you pretty much adapt your identity of who you think you are and what you like identify or who you identify yourself with. So when I moved from my village to the small town, like I always refer to myself as the village girl from like 5 kilometers away. That's who I am. That's my village. And then I moved to Cologne to study, which was like 3 hours away. And then I kind of referred to the next biggest city of where I was from and was like, I don't know, 40-minute ride. So I was already, I'm no longer the village girl. I'm now from the nearest bigger city. And then I moved to Amsterdam after for my master's. And then I was like the German, you know, I'm like, I'm from another country. I moved to Australia and then I was like, well, I'm just going home to Europe for summer, you know, and then you already like just refer to the continent you're from. And then eventually I was in Bali and then, I was just like a bule, anyone from the Western world. It doesn't matter if you're like from the States, if you're from Australia. I'm like, you're just a Western person. And I'm like, wow, I could go to the moon and I'd be like an earthling. And it just makes you realize the further you go away, the more like relative your identity becomes in that sense. But then also realizing that in the end, like we're all humans, we're all the same. We're everything and nothing, you know, I'm all of that. But also I'm just like any other human, there's no difference between us. And that was very grounding. And yeah, I think like the second lesson that you learn as well is like when your environment keeps on changing, keeps on adapting, you really come home to yourself, get to know yourself on such a deep level, because the places and faces and everything around you changes. The only constant that you have is yourself. And that kind of shows you, but better make sure you like the only person you're going to hang out with for the rest of your life. Invest in like self-care and like a healthy mind, a positive vibe, because everywhere you go is like you cannot escape yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. And something that you're ultimately, you have to face at some point. So I'm curious though, you mentioned that you got a master's when going to Amsterdam. What was the master's in?
It was in communication science, or specifically it was entertainment communication. I kind of thought I would start like a career in like in TV. My biggest dream was always becoming like a TV host and just hosting like dating shows and stuff and travel around the world and, you know, host TV shows from like cool places and just get some makeup on and talk, just basically being well paid to talk all day. That didn't really happen. But yeah, I think now I'm doing something similar, at least, you know, I'm hosting workshops and I talk a lot. So yeah, I've always been interested in how humans just tick and behavioral science, social science. And I think communication is everything. You know, once we have a clear way of communicating our emotions and just getting across in a diplomatic and respectful way, we can change so much and we can have such a positive impact and healthy relationships. But there's a lot to learn about communication.
Yeah. Okay, so one last thing that I wanted to touch on Germany really quickly before I kind of transition to Bali. And then eventually we're going to touch on, you know, the projects that you're involved in and working on right now. So I've always been, you know, Germany's always been on my bucket list. I'm actually going tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about it. I've wanted to do it forever. But I guess my question for people who are listening to this podcast is, you know, people always want to visit Germany, but from someone who lives there and who's grown up there and knows the country, is there a place that you would consider recommending to live as opposed to anywhere else in the country?
Well, 100%. But I would say there are different places. Completely depends on your interests and your personality. I would say Berlin is probably like the most popular place. It's kind of like maybe the new Melbourne and like the new cool place and cultural melting pot. But even for me, as like born and raised in Germany, it always feels like being abroad in Germany. Now I just go like on a little like country trip when I go to Berlin because it's so multicultural and like so extremely open in terms of parties, sexuality, like express yourself. It's like if you want to fit in, stand out. And if you want to stand out, just look like normal. And if people are going to look at you like weird. So if you kind of, you know, have this kind of need to like really like fully express yourself and dive into that and like just have your wild face and explore around, I think then Berlin is the perfect place. If you're really like outdoorsy, but still like the city life, but you know, just love your little nature getaways, mountains, beautiful lakes, beautiful like nature, Bavaria, or like more specifically Munich, is the place to be in terms of life quality. I think it's top notch. Like it really is like the place where you can just get the best of both worlds, like explore the city life, have like huge variety in terms of cultures, concerts, amazing like restaurants, museums, whatever you can imagine. And then you just even hop on a bike and just start cruising and you're in this beautiful, picture perfect, fairy tale environment. Yeah, totally depends on your personality, but there are plenty places in Germany that are kind of like little hidden gems that you wouldn't probably associate Germany with. Like we also have like beautiful beaches, islands up north. And the cool thing about Germany is really that we have, oh my God, I need to Google the correct numbers. Shame on me. I hope we can edit the podcast, but I think we have eight or nine neighboring countries. We definitely have a lot of neighboring countries. And that's super cool. You can just go on a road trip and like you always come back to Germany and like cross off so many countries. Like just stay somewhere in the center, go on a road trip and like go to Denmark, go to France, go to Czech Republic, whatever you want. It's literally next door. You just sit in a car and like crossing the border, new country, new culture, new language, new food. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I was thinking when you were saying Munich about bordering Switzerland, because I was wanting to go to the Alps and I feel like that's just such a beautiful area down there. So it's funny though that you mentioned the 8 or 9 or 7 or 10, you know, you got the number right, bordering countries, because Missouri actually is the same in the U.S., which no one ever knows or hears of Missouri, but I think it borders 7 or 8 or 9 states. So it's kind of the same thing that you can go and visit a bunch.
We're both from a place with many neighboring countries, states.
Yeah, right in the middle, right? That's pretty much it. That's what we're getting at. Okay, so coming from the middle of Europe, and then obviously it sounded like you hopped around for a bit. How and why did you land on Bali of all places? Because it's a place that you continue to go back to. It's a place that you know, it seems that you've fallen in love with, and you know, you're setting up life there. I mean, obviously it's a big nomad hotspot. Everyone hears of Bali. Everyone knows of Bali. But I'm just curious to get, you know, your why.
Well, let's put it that way. It wasn't plan A, because A was Australia, but then it turned into plan B and that was plan Bali. So I was in Bali for the first time in between like my bachelor's studies and master's studies, and I had 3 or 4 months off, and I just felt like, oh, I wanted to use this time and like fill it with purpose and do something meaningful, and decided I want to give back and invest like in charity work. And for some reason, good question, but I think when I was like 7 years old, they had this kind of like radio or whatever show where you could win a trip to Bali. And for some reason, I like on the weekend, I set my alarm at 6 a.m. and it was a specific sound that you hear during a song, like a roar of like a deer or something. And then you had to call them. And I was obsessed for some reason. 7 or 8 year old me really wanted to win this trip to Bali. I still don't know why. It sparked something inside of me. And to be fair, when I was 5, I won a trip to Florida. So I felt the powers inside of me. I went to Florida for 2 weeks when I was 5. So I'm like, let's do it again. This time we're going to Bali. And yeah, so I decided between bachelor and master's, somehow Bali it is. And then I applied for a volunteer program and I got it. And then I went here for 2 months and I was teaching English in like a super rural volunteer center somewhere up north. And then on the weekends, I always went out to the south to kind of where I live now. But during the week, I was just completely like remote, but in the sense of bumpy roads, like no supermarkets, like literally in this volunteer village teaching English. And something inside of me just got me like extremely grounded. I didn't realize how much my mind was kind of scattered, because I've always been like a vibrant and like positive person. But then when I did like my first meditation or like yoga session, I'm like, I thought I was very like high vibe, but I was not so calm inside. And that just really got shown to me in this like meditation session. Is somehow I can't chill. You know, I'm like so much just like doing, always being active, they're like doing nothing was much more challenging for me. And I think for a lot of people, it's like more challenging to motivate themselves to do something. For me, it was the other way around. And in Bali, for the first time, I kind of found this calmness and like peacefulness and just like slowing down and unwinding. And then, of course, that mixed with the beautiful, like authentic, genuine smiles of the locals. And for me, it was the first time I got exposed to like a Buddhist. It's like a mix of Hinduism, Buddhism, and like natural nature tradition. So it's kind of a blend Balinese culture here. And yeah, maybe it's coming from Germany or any other reason, but I was not used to people being kind and friendly and warm and extremely giving without expecting anything in return. Like this unconditional kindness was a new concept for me. Kind of in the beginning, it was a bit critical. I was like, do I have to pay them now? Do they expect a tip? Or like, I was really confused. What do they want? Why are they so friendly? And I mean, I was friendly, of course, but like in the back of my mind, I was always like, where's the catch? You know, like it didn't get that people could just be so genuinely like friendly. But then, of course, like 2 months, you eventually get into like adapt to the culture. I'm like, wow, this place, that was the first place from all the other places I've backpacked to and like visited that I felt like it's calling me back. Like I went to Shanghai, I went to Mexico, whatever, before to kind of live for a while. But Bali is the first place I'm like, I don't want to like move on and experience the next kick. I want to come back to this place. And then life took its turn. I moved to Amsterdam. I moved to Australia. And then I wanted to apply for another year in Australia. And I needed to leave for like 6 weeks to get the application process done. So I'm like, well, Bali is kind of like next door. So I guess relatively to the distance, you know, back in my village days, there would have been a long distance, but Australia, Bali is like, cool, you know, 5 hour flight, best place I could choose. And then I booked it in a time when there was like no sense of panic or emergency in the air. And suddenly, like, it was like a week until I was supposed to fly out. And a friend of mine who was living in the capital of Indonesia at that time, he called me and was like, hey, like, I just read Indonesia's going to close the borders in 30 hours because of this COVID thing going on. And not going to lie, in Australia, there was no sense of panic. Like, people were at the beach, people were out. No one was really worried. And then basically overnight, it was like I didn't think much about it. It was like a now or never. It's like, if I want to go to Bali, I need to take the next flight. So basically packed my stuff, booked the next flight. And I think 12 hours later, I was heading to the airport. And it was kind of this gut feeling. I wasn't really knowing what I was doing. But I'm like, well, if they close, and I figured out there's no visa agent that I can pay to still get in like a few days later, it's now or never. And then I took the flight and I just realized, damn, there's not a single person at the airport, people wearing masks. What is going on? And yeah, landed in Bali 2.5 hours before they shut the borders. Like, I always feel like I ducked under the border and then boom, like jail bars are going down. And a day later, Australia, out of the blue, from like enjoying life. I mean, you've lived in Australia as well. When Aussies make rules, they freaking stick to their rules. They're like the most worries loose people when there are no rules. But when there are rules, don't mess with the Australians. The rules set. So there I was, Bali closed. I couldn't fly out anymore, and Australia closed. So I couldn't even go back if I wanted to. And then I realized quickly, you know, it's like everything, I wouldn't say everything happens for a reason, but there's definitely like meaning in everything. And it was not gonna lie. Bali is like the most magical place, but it was not like the love at first sight. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be here. I had a fantastic life in Australia that I had no intention to leave. And when I first got here, I was like, well, apparently you got to start from scratch again, find new friends, find like new co-working space, like build up a new life, because Australia announced right away they're going to close for 1.5 years. So I was one day out. I'm like, you're not coming back until earliest March 21 or so. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yep. I was there, actually. I was on the way to Broome when the lockdown happened in Australia. And it was, again, it was like you saw something on the internet and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden it was just like locked. And you're like, oh, geez. Okay. So that's a fantastic story on kind of how you got stuck, but now you're happy. It's crazy how kind of life plays out the way it does. I know that you were talking about how you spent some times up in the north, you know, of Bali, in kind of that village atmosphere. For the people who haven't been to Bali, there is... The South is a different ball game, I guess, as opposed to the North. Can you just kind of highlight almost like the day-to-day lifestyle between the North and then the South, and just
absolutely, for our listeners? Yeah. Well, I mean, out of my own experience, I can only speak from like very local perspective and like local everyday life. And up North, there were no tourists whatsoever. No one. It was like really, I don't know, imagine like any random small town in the middle of the US. There's no reason for tourists to visit. There are no super, super nice beaches, you know, no the proper like bumpy roads. There's no industry. There's nothing. So yeah, well, the Balinese people really love their ceremonies. That's one thing that's really clear. And the more, like the longer you live here, like the more you understand all like the different ceremonies you have. But like in the beginning, it's kind of funny because literally every day they block the road for a ceremony, and like people, like their parades going on, like locals in like traditional outfits, like mostly it's all white, but sometimes it's like colorful outfits, and there's always a god to celebrate. We celebrate every full moon, we celebrate every new moon, we set intentions, like attracting new things, new life, letting go of things. Recently had like Ganon Ganon Kuningan. That's like what kind of like the Balinese version of the Day of the Death, when they like spirits come back for 10 days. Balinese people love their ceremonies. So when you live like in a rural area, every day is a holiday. It really is like, oh no, school is off today. We're having a holiday. You're like, what are we celebrating today? So I think that is a major part of the everyday life. And also like daily offerings. You always get a little, I call them banana boats, but you have like the banana leaves folded and then they put like a bit of grass inside and four different colors of flowers, which represent like the four different gods. And the gods represent like the four elements. And then they always put an offering in there. Not going to lie, that produces a shitload of plastic because it's always like, you know, like a cookie for the gods or like literally like a plastic bag full of coffee. And like always like a little snack for the gods and an incense. So they light the incense. They place it on an altar or like some in front of your house. And every day, like we also have someone like who comes to bless our house every day. You can somehow call it woo woo magic, but you can feel like the frequency here is just higher. Like people are kind of more content. They just have like a smile on their face. They're just super like relaxed. If they have teeth or not, like sometimes they just smile at you. No teeth whatsoever. Good day. Life's good. And I think that's like very prominent in these rural areas. It's like a lot of like prayers, offerings, very slowed down. I think most of the action happens between like 6 and 9 a.m. because that's the only time when it's not too hot. And then I know this podcast is being published, but sometimes when I, not all the time, but I've had it multiple times when I pass by like construction sites, when like people are supposed to build a house, they were just having a break time. I'm like, oh, break time again. And like at one point, I'm like, hold on, when are they actually working? they do, like they're building the houses. There's a lot of construction going on. But like definitely notice that they don't take things too seriously. They make sure they always have enough time to rest. And community is such a big aspect here. You know, everyone is living in this like family complexes. So you have like mini houses. It's basically just one room with like a mattress in there and very small. And then everything happens in the community area. Like they have big temples and like outdoor areas where people like just mingle, but the houses themselves, and I get it, if they look at us as like, why do you need like a living room or like a big office space, a giant room where you don't just sit on one desk? And they just like, why? And then you look at them and you're like, actually, you're right. Like, I sleep in that room, so it needs to be big enough to put a mattress in and not like having 40 square meters to just put a bed and like a closet in. So I'm like, yeah, kind of makes sense, actually.
It's funny how we can like, it kind of highlights that there's more than one way. You know, I always come back to saying that there's always more than one way to do something. And when you go to a place that's so different culturally, it really highlights it. And that's something I noticed as well. And in Spain too, you come from Germany. I come from the US where it's kind of work first. And so we see these things and you're like, geez, you know, they're not really doing much, but they get stuff done all the same. And it's not, you know, a worry to them. So it's kind of nice as well.
And it's also kind of nice to like surround yourself with people who are just a little bit laid back and like, you know, it does require self-discipline to not just float away in this like, you know, siesta lifestyle or like here it's like the island lifestyle where like a lot of people come on a holiday. But if you feel like you're, you know, you got your focus on your work and like you set the boundaries and like put your energy into that. But then before and after, you get to enjoy life like everyone else around you. That's beautiful. I prefer that over living in a stressed out city where it's like an elbow society. Everyone's just rushing, like disconnected from themselves. I'm like, cool, you know, as long as I show up for myself and invest my time in getting work done. After that, I go for a sunset walk, have a coconut, go for a surf, and like, life's good.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things was I would wake up when I was living in Bali for a bit. I'd wake up and I'd just take a scooter to the nearest beach. And on the way, you know, you're going pretty much through this like jungle, but not really, but you are, you know, on the scooter. And then you'd smell all these incense as you pass. And again, it was like that early morning where everyone's active. And it was just like that higher vibration that you talked about. It was really there. And it was just such a unique vibe. And then obviously the weather is just unmatched. It's, you know, it's like a mini Hawaii in regards to the weather.
Just pulls you out of bed in the morning. Like I sleep with my curtains open and then I wake up at like 6:30 and I'm like, I don't want to sleep any longer. Like it's not that I'm like, oh, I gotta get up. I'm like, no, like I'm excited. Like it pulls me out of bed. The biggest struggle I have in the morning is like, am I go for a surf? Am I gonna read a book at the beach or get a coffee to go and take a walk? Am I like going to the beach? And that's no other option. One thing I wanted to add to the offerings and the incense, I just wanted to check if you had that too. I'm always afraid to like drive over the offerings with my scooter because then I'm like, fuck, I'm cursed.
Yeah.
It's like I take like detours, like probably like put other people in danger behind me because I'm like, no way I'm going to drive over this tiny little square of offering because I don't want to mess with the woo-woo gods in there.
Yeah, I had the same experience. So I know we talked a bit about up north and then most of the nomads in kind of that more, maybe not elbow to elbow, but where, you know, that kind of entrepreneurial environment is going to be in the south. How do you find for people who are interested, you know, maybe freelancers or remote workers just looking to relocate? Can you kind of elaborate on the entrepreneurial environment in Bali?
Yeah. I would say like the hotspot is definitely Canggu, where I'm based as well. It's like, yeah, just have heaps of co-working spaces. They're popping up like mushrooms all over and they're all pretty much fully booked. And yeah, I think that's for me, the coolest thing about living in Bali is the people. So you have like the super genuine, high-vibing, content, relaxed locals. And then you just have this super inspiring, like-minded, purpose-driven entrepreneurs who kind of, you know, they're just doers. They just have this motivation to like build up a business, grow and evolve personally and professionally. And it's like a very, very uplifting environment. Literally every person you talk to, it feels like this could have been a podcast recording. Every random coffee conversation is like, wow, so what do you do? And then they just come up with the coolest business ideas of basically like, you know, like seeing a problem in the world and then being like, well, I just found a way to fix it. And then they build a business around that. And you're just constantly inspired by your environment. And because it attracts so many digital nomads and like entrepreneurs, you're just in this community and they just run a lot of like events around that, like so many networking events, like masterminds, like workshops of, you know, whatever you might possibly be into, like e-commerce or like crypto. We have a lot of like coaches, salespeople, I don't know, digital marketing, anything you can do remote, basically. And you all have like your little bubbles, your little communities. And what I found and what I really enjoy here as well is that it's not like an elbow society of like, what you might have like in a traditional company setting is like, you don't want anyone to steal your promotion. And here, like a giving and taking, like people help each other out. I think I wouldn't have started my own business in the way that I did if it wasn't for Bali. You know, one thing is, of course, like compared to Australia, where the cost of living are just much more expensive and you cannot afford having like a very low income for a bit because it's just too expensive to maintain your lifestyle. Sorry, like just can't risk it. But in Bali, the cool thing is you can live like a really freaking good life on a budget. Not gonna lie, rental prices are just above and beyond at the moment. But other than that, you know, a lot of beautiful things to enjoy life are free, like beach, surf, whatever, scooter rides, fuel is super cheap. No. And yeah, so you can just risk it, like having a low income and still don't have to sacrifice so much of life's quality. Plus, you're also just in the right environment to ask people. Like everyone around you probably has built a website, has set up a sales funnel, has, I don't know, can just give you advice on how it feels like to go through the entrepreneur roller coaster, and like dealing with the highs and lows and the challenges. And to be fair, like I have one friend at home from uni who built his own business. But other than that, I wouldn't know who to ask. You know, it's like then you just don't even consider building your own business because everyone around you is working for a company. So they don't deal with this. Sometimes can be like financial insecurity because your income is just absolutely anything but stable. And then you might feel like a loser at times because you're like, whoa, everyone around me is getting promotions and like pay raises and I'm just eating spaghetti pasta at the end of the month because I just invested all the money that I made in marketing or like in a mastermind session or whatever. So yeah, but here it's totally normal. People just like, yeah, you know, part of the journey, like you get there. And it's just very inspiring to surround yourself with people who just get you. They might be like a few steps further along the road. They can mentor you and you're like, yeah, you know, and not gonna lie, after like 3 years, you've seen so many people like growing their businesses, coming up with cool ideas and like really being part of the journey. And that's also a really cool feeling to look at each other and be like, wow, like we came a long way since we got drunk on this pool party.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. So speaking of your business, I know that you've done a few things. You're a certified bucket list coach. You're a remote team building coach. You've actually created your own card game, which I'm really excited to chat about. It's called iConnect, but it's a digital detox game, right? Am I getting that right? Or
all right.
Okay. And then so can you just explain what that game is and kind of, you know, the intention of behind it? Because I personally love it. I love card games. I love like connecting and just, you know, maybe it's just the competitive spirit that I have that I like card games. But I like, you know, connecting with people, you know, one-on-one in that experience. And I think that's kind of, you know, your why behind it. But I'd love to just figure out, you know, like what went behind taking those steps to create a physical card game in this day and age.
Well, how much time do we have? Yeah, well, it all basically started with me writing my master thesis in communication about fubbing, that is phone snubbing, and basically means the effect of neglecting the offline person in front of you because you rather engage with your smartphones, you know, rather scroll through Instagram while your partner is telling you about their day and like, just not cool, like just really, sorry to say, but like fucking up like human connection and like human interaction because we're just so busy being present online that we kind of completely miss out on being available offline and like be present with the people around us. So I wrote my thesis. I backpacked Nicaragua and ironically, my phone got stolen on my third day. So I had to get this whole trip offline. And I'm like, oh, actually, it's really freaking cool and liberating to just, you know, like ask strangers, improve my Spanish, kind of getting lost and finding myself again. Hitchhike. I had a friend with me who had a phone, so I wasn't that naive, like blonde girl alone in Nicaragua, just hitchhiking without a phone. But yeah, I'm like, oh, it's like actually pretty cool to be so present in the moment. Plus, I also realized like the more you travel and the more people you meet, the more repetitive small talk conversations you have in terms of, hey, where are you from? How long have you been traveling? Cool. And you're like, oh, like, I get it. We all do it, but it just gets very tiring. And you just be like, oh, I just wish I could put like a stamp on my forehead and be like, hey, this is me. And then I just started off creating a bunch of conversation sparking questions that are like, you know, we all have exciting stories to tell. I mean, we're freaking traveling the world. Like there's more to it than what's your name, where you're from. But yeah, in order to skip the small talk, we might just need to ask better questions and like, you know, scratch that surface level and go down to the juice and dig deeper. So yeah, I kind of like came back from my travels and started giving like talks and workshops around this whole get off your phone, connect with the people around you. And then on the side, which was not connected at all at that point, already had these question cards made because I'm like, yeah, just don't like small talk, like there's much more to it. And then it wasn't until like maybe a year later, 2 years later, that I brought these cards everywhere and like told everyone about my thesis and connected one-on-one and were like, it's not really in my nature to just talk about the problem and not having a solution. I'm actually much more on positive news. So raising awareness was one thing. And I felt like it's important to kind of make people aware. It's like, hey, there are actually like humans around you you can connect with and not just Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And then I was like, well, how about I just make people more interesting in social media? So I don't have to talk down being on your phone and how bad it is. I simply find a way to like make people more exciting. So people actually get excited about not being on their phone because human connection is even better. And then I kind of kicked it off and was like, I'm just going to use the questions that I have and make them look like a phone. Funnily, like it is, it's not even planned when I have it set up. So it looks like a, you know, no one can see it because it's
just, yeah. Like an iPhone there. Yeah.
It kind of looks like an iPhone. And then I put it in the question categories. I put them into 6 connection levels, 6 different color connections. And then I put a Wi-Fi bound back of the card and basically defined the connection level based on the depth of the question. So the higher the Wi-Fi level on the back of the card, the deeper is the question level and the stronger the connection. So the real name is
actually,
stronger than Wi-Fi.
I was going to ask if you want to give me a sample question, but now I'm not sure if I want to get to level 6 or something. That sounds too personal.
Okay, like ask you a level 2 question. Like normally, like you would pile them up, you roll the dice, and then the dice defines which level you're going to pick.
Oh,
and
okay.
The conversation starter, like the first person to roll the dice, is actually the person with the highest average screen time. Everybody checks their phone time or the screen time in the beginning, and the person with the highest screen time is going to start.
Nice. I love that.
Do you want a question?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Just don't make it too bad, huh?
Okay, it's a level 2 question.
I feel like you've preloaded this. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. If you could hang out with any fictional character for a day, who would you choose and why?
That is difficult. For some reason,
level 2, Tim.
I know. Well, I got to give an actual answer. I was going to say Tom Sawyer. I have no idea why, but he's like adventurous and outdoorsy. So no one else came to my mind besides maybe like SpongeBob because he seems just like a ball of fun. But yeah, no. So I'd go Tom Sawyer probably. That's like a fun game though. That's kind of like a Cards Against Humanity, but like more personal.
You know,
not really. Not really cards.
Against technology.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Well, amazing. That's so cool. And again, it's one of those things that I really liked what you did because I've always kind of had like a weird, I like just creating little, you know, games and stuff like that. So to be able to do that and go through that process, I've looked it up a few different times. I've never pulled the trigger. Could you just briefly explain what that process was like? And like, because obviously you were in Nicaragua when you were, you know, figuring this out. But then like, where did you, you know, get the resources? It's not something that you can like drop ship. You can't just like drop ship a game. It's not, you know, so you obviously have to have some inventory. Like, can you just like, where did you end up setting up shop, I guess, for that?
Well, that was also quite a journey. So in the beginning, it really just, you know, started as like a passion project. I found this girl on Fiverr for like $90 or so. And I'm like, you know, she was literally like, yeah, like I designed games. I'm like, cool, I want to make a game. So I paid her $90. And then we like hit it off. I don't know. Like I just had a bunch of questions and I'm like, yeah, it should look like a phone. I don't know, like just, you know, like vague ideas. So just pitching her like my ideas. And then she kind of implemented all my ideas. And then it was like you know, we're slowly moving on and it kind of like shaped its way. And I was like, oh, now we actually have the cards. And then like I kind of brainstormed more questions. And I got like, I told my friends about it. They sent me questions. We kind of build it up. And funnily, it wasn't until I moved to Bali and ended up co-founding a new co-living community with a Dutch and a Swedish guy. We found this really freaking dope house. Like during pandemic, they were just like basically throwing you, like they were just giving away for free almost these super sick private mansions because no tourists were coming in. And they're like, all right, let's do it. So we had this pretty much private resort, like wedding venue. And then we secured it. And then we just found like 8 other, or like in total, I think we were 8 digital nomads to move in with us. And then we have mastermind sessions and kind of like a whiteboard on the wall and freaking like a gym in the house, so a private chef, like a ping pong table, like a massive outdoor area. It was nuts. We had like pool parties, a pool bar, like it was, oh my God. It sounds a bit like, you know, like Project X, but it was actually our life. And yeah, but like just this like-minded community and like having this accountability of like, all right, I'm going to order the sample. Like, this is what I want to reach this week. Like, this is what I want to accomplish. That helped me so much to actually like have a due date and like get it set up, and being surrounded by people who like set up a website. Like, and like now looking back, I'm like, can't believe that back then I thought this was great what I created there. You know, it's like, you figure out as you go. Like in the beginning, you're like, oh my God, I came so far. Look at it. And now I'm like, I came a long way. You know, what I thought was brilliant back then is probably leveled up a bit. And yeah, then it probably could have been faster, but for me, it was a bit of a journey because I did it by myself and then ordered the first sample from China. And I just found it on, what was it, Alibaba? I just, literally $90 investment for Fiverr game, board game designer in the Ukraine, I think she was. And then Alibaba found like a board game production in China. And they sent me a price and like set everything up. I'm like, okay, send me samples. And that was like the biggest thing, like logging in, like, this is it. These are the questions. This is the design, because you keep on changing. You're like, just like, I'll maybe ditch that question. Like, put that one in. It's like, you're never ready. You know, like, unless you have a due date, you keep on wanting to improve and then you kind of never finish. And having this mastermind set group and like logging in that by Friday, I'll have the sample ordered. Like, that really, really helped me to just get it done and press the button. And then I got a few samples delivered from China, and there was certainly like still some adjustments to make. So one of my housemates, like co-living nomads, whatever, he was like, why don't you just like print it in Bali? You know, like just here at the local print shop. And then I was like, yeah, it's actually cool. And I can just always, you know, improve, like adjust little things. And it's not just ordering this package from China and like taking ages, and plus communication barrier. I can just cruise over with my scooter. I also felt like I was kind of reinvesting into Indonesian economy during a time that, you know, no tourists were coming in. So it kind of felt good to like give back and like spend my money in Bali and not anywhere else. So yeah, then I just started a crowdfunding. Set up a crowdfunding page, like promoted the shit out of it to the best possible extent, pretty much. And then produced like 100 games here locally. Gotta say, I did not reach the crowdfunding goal. In the end, I backed it myself. Like, you know, sometimes gotta be your own superhero. And yeah, but like eventually I sold all the games. There started another production round, and I was looking for an investor and created a pitch deck and kind of like mingled around. And like, yeah, people were not really keen to invest in board games because it's not as like scalable as kind of like an online platform or whatever. And then, yeah, it was like a bit of a, like I've always kept on moving, but like, of course, sometimes you feel a bit more stagnant. Other times you just feel like, wow, I was, you know, I'm being seen, you know, I'm meeting an investor and nothing happens. But I was just very consistent in like running events and like in the community we had here, kind of build up my identity as like the iConnect girl. It's like, if you want to run a connection event, if you, you know, host a dinner party, like ask Nini. And like, that was kind of a cool identity to have, to like, you know, be the conversation starters. Like, people know, it's like, oh, she brings the questions, like she brings the purpose to the dinner. So that's pretty cool. And like, that really like leveled up my connections here big, big time. And then just started throwing events. Like, I love my pancakes. I just hosted like iConnect on pancakes. And like, it was always like a bunch of different events where we played the game. And then when the borders opened up again and we had tourists coming in, I got asked to host like workshops at festivals and just like really build it up. And then a friend of mine actually came as my artist plus one to one of the festivals that I was opening the stage for and like gave a bit of background introduction, and then people were playing iConnect. And after that, she like was like, wow, Nini, actually, this is really cool stuff. Is there any way you're looking for an investor? And she kind of wanted to get out of her like marketing, freelancing job and really loved the game. And then, yeah, she just joined as like the co-founder, investor. And then things really like picked up, and like finally I had this, you know, like partner, buddy in crime, accountability. For me, honestly, perfect complementary partner, because she's really like switched on with like numbers and like spreadsheets and like systems and doing like all the back end. And I'm just really like strong on the front end in terms of running the events, like setting up the partnerships, connections, putting it out there. But I just love being creative. And then I'm like, yeah, numbers, law, taxes, legal stuff. I don't know, like kind of scaring me, but I know this has to be taken care of. But I feel like with her, I'm just so freaking grateful. It's like perfect yin and yang, like personally and professionally. And yeah, then we pushed a button and produced 2,000 games in China. And now they're being shipped worldwide, got them all, like all the systems are automated. Before it's literally me packing in my children's room or like here in Bali and sending it out, whatever. But now it's like automated. People just click on a website. They can order the game. And yeah, now it's beautiful, like pull marketing almost, that we're getting messages from like this, whatever was it, like this Digital Nomad Festival in Bulgaria next year. And it's like, do you want to come to Bulgaria to like go iConnect event, like to... I mean, I use it for team building as well, but, you know, like it really kind of spreads the word now. I'm running like a Valentine's Day event next week here, like speed dating events. We do regular networking events at co-working spaces. And yeah, like now you kind of feel like all the little seeds that you've planted along the way, and it was like a 2 years journey or even more, it keeps on coming back, you know, if you got a clear direction and if you like stay true to it and you're not just kind of have 100 different ideas and never follow through with anything, eventually the dots are connecting and it's going to pay off. And it's maybe for some people, they are lucky, it's a smooth ride. But I do think the entrepreneurial roller coaster ride, nobody is setting you up for that. You think you got a great product, everyone's going to love it and it's going to buy it. And you like, you probably have to reorder overnight. But that's just not how it goes. But yeah, you learn, adapt, you drop your ego, you grow extremely personally and professionally. And yeah, it's a journey, but it's beautiful. Wouldn't want to change a thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say, is that just kind of highlights the importance of sticking with something. And that is the entrepreneurial journey. You learn so much. You don't know what you have to know when you're starting out something until you dig in, you have to go do it. And then just being able to stick with that, because so many people are like, oh, it's been, you know, 6 months. Why is this not working? And they give up. It's like, well, you know, if you got a product in 6 months, congratulations, you're a great entrepreneur. Keep at it. So we're kind of running out of time here. I was going to ask a bit about the Work Happiness Project, which I'm assuming is kind of what you highlighted a bit. Do you want to just dive into that really quickly? Well, and then I'll ask one more question at the end.
Well, the Work Happiness Project is pretty much like team building for remote companies. So I figured out, you know, it's pretty cool to work from any place in the world, but it can feel very freaking lonely when you just sit in front of your laptop by yourself all day, especially like when you work for like a remote company, like with other people sitting in the same boat. We really miss this like human component. We miss like this human interaction. And as I love to connect people in a meaningful way, I'm like, one doesn't have to come at the sacrifice of the other. You know, we can live this life true to ourselves at like an environment that we feel like we're thriving in, but still feel connected to everyone around us and like, you know, to a culture where we feel like we share the same mission, vision, we share the same values. So yeah, I basically help remote teams to boost their company culture through online team building. And it's based on a very, very holistic approach, because I believe, you know, we can be our best selves at work when our inner batteries are charged, like when our own cup is full and we're switched on with being more like enthusiastic, more driven, like more high on life. Then we can actually give more. We can be more productive. We're more creative. We're better like team members, because enthusiasm is contagious. And yes, I build like all my workshops on three core pillars. One is live fuller. Second one is connect deeper. And the third one is be happier. So it's basically all workshops that help the individual employees to supercharge their own batteries and also really get to know their team members. And yeah, it's fun, entertaining, but it's also extremely like purposeful, meaningful, and hopefully very uplifting and creating like a long-term positive change in their personal lives. And then of course, as a ripple effect in their professional lives for their teams and raising the vibes. That's what I'm all about. Spreading happiness, good vibes. That's what I love to do.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see the future of employee appreciation, employee collaboration with remote teams. I think it's going to be so fascinating to see how that space evolves, because it's definitely something that is going to be of greater concern for larger companies who are fully remote as to how to engage and appreciate their employees. I'm excited to see how virtual reality plays a role in that, especially like Oculus glasses and all that stuff. I think that'd be really cool just from the little that I know. So Nini, this has been fantastic. I feel like we can dive in a whole nother podcast on just what, you know, we briefly touched there. So maybe I'll have to get you back on. I do always ask one question at the very end, which is, if you could take all of your life experiences, turn around and give someone one piece of advice on those experiences, what would it be?
Wow, this is a tough one, because I have so many quotes in my head, but...
Only one.
This is tough. Like, just say, live a life true to yourself, because you only have one shot. You know, it's like, don't try to please others. Like, you are the most important person in your life, and like, don't waste your time impressing people you don't like, from like doing a job you hate to buy things you don't need. Figure out what triggers your inner smile, what makes you happy, and as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, freaking live your life.
I think people would be surprised that when they start doing that, then it affects more people in a positive way.
Yeah, it's a ripple effect. Like when they say like truth vibrates the fastest. So when you're doing something that's very like in alignment with yourself and like feels right to you, you just like raise your frequency. You attract like positive things, positive people, opportunities, and like life just takes its turn. And like, can't be the craziest idea, but if it feels right to you, your energy becomes like an infinite resource, and you just keep on going. And then there's no other possibility than being successful at what you're doing, because people buy that enthusiasm because it's contagious. And yeah, you do you, do your thing.
Yep, love it. That's like my life motto. Nini, again, thank you so much. Really quickly while we wrap up, where can people find you? Where can they reach out? If they're interested in the game you've created, where can they find it? Just give us a handoff here.
So for the game, it's just iconnectgame.com. And if anyone needs a team building workshop for their team, I do like bucket list workshops, digital detox workshops, whatever, art of happiness, anything. It's theworkhappinessproject.com. And just find me on LinkedIn, Nini Fritz, or share like very authentic but more professional stuff than Nini Quarantini on Instagram. But then I think on Instagram, much more like raw and like, please don't use that on LinkedIn. But that's all.
Amazing. Yeah. And I'll throw that in the show notes for anybody who's interested. Nini, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on. I feel honored that I was your guest today. Thank you. And I truly hope you enjoy Germany just as much as I do.
Hopefully more, right?
Even more.
All right. Thanks so much, Nini. And that wraps up another episode of Thoughts of a Random Citizen. Thank you everyone so much for tuning back in. For those who are new listeners, welcome, and I appreciate you joining. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and our guest today. If you are new and you're doing anything remote, be sure to check out Citizen Remote. It is fantastic if you're already traveling the world. It's a great app to join a very quickly growing community. It's a great tool for those who are just about to begin traveling and figuring out how to navigate that, especially if you work remotely. It's a fantastic platform, and we continue to build more and more tools for you guys week in and week out. Otherwise, if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking for tools or assistance with the next steps of, you know, what you need to do with your startup, or if you're looking for software development, network connections, reach out to us at Torque United. Otherwise, if you're just tuning in for the conversations, thank you. That's why I love doing what I'm doing. Keep tuning in and actually keep a lookout for the not-for-profit that we're about to open up. You know, its main focus is going to be on international collaboration and helping build a borderless world, because it's something that I'm very passionate about. That's why I'm not only doing Torque United, but Citizen Remote as well. Really exciting stuff on that horizon. Please keep up to date with all of that stuff, the not-for-profit and entrepreneurial side of things at Torque United. But again, if you're traveling the world, check out Citizen Remote. If you're wanting to travel the world, if you're a remote worker, check out Citizen Remote. Check out the app we've built for you guys. Check out the platform we've built. It's only growing every single week. So hopefully you guys will take part in that with us. Otherwise, I will speak with everyone in a fortnight. Until then, cheers.